the peacock is darting in and out of traffic, causing issues there.
Oh, boy.
Just trying to confirm. Looking here, and y'all are not helping me on if this is a separate. Remember we had months ago, maybe even years ago, we had some real peacock issues. The peacock made news a lot of days, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Peacock would be on somebody's roof. The peacock would be out in traffic. The peacock could be doing peacock things, whatever, peacocking around. Then it was kind of quiet. Mm-hmm. Peacock maybe on vacation.
Yeah.
Peacock probably was, you know what, quarantined.
Maybe.
Staying in. And now, all of a sudden, like, bam, back in the news, peacock affecting traffic.
With a vengeance, too, right? They didn't even just start with a neighborhood street.
No. It's in the neighborhood, and then it's getting out on the roadway. So, please, by the way, if somebody can safely do it, not driving, and law enforcement is chasing the peacock around to load them up, please video. Please video the peacock chase going on.
And then we will put the Benny Hill theme music behind
right,
the video.
Right, because you know that's exactly what you got to put in. Yackety sacks.
Yeah, you provide the video, we'll provide the soundtrack.
All right, so some people chime in. Some people are now volunteering maybe to go get us video of the peacock chase. All right, this hour, phone number 343-0106. We talked to Rob Holbert coming up at 8:30, and our friend Robert Kennedy Jr. now on Mobile Mornings. Hey, Robert.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Dalton. I see you guys are intrigued by the peacocking.
Yes, it's back. Remember, there was a while there we had peacocks making traffic news, and then like a year's gone by. And I got to tell you, I might be happy that, you know, instead of it being a wreck or, you know, it's just a peacock causing issues out there.
Indeed.
All right, let's a couple things I want to get into. You had mentioned to me, listen to the conversation we had with Quinn Hillier on Tuesday and the discussion of the president's Independence Day speech, the one from Mount Rushmore. You want to talk more about that. So lay it on me. I did not watch the speech. Like I told Quinn, I did not watch it. And Quinn said he had just, you know, read the remarks there and said to those that had called this a racist speech, he disagreed.
You know, it's actually interesting because what I try to do is I try to put myself in the same frame of reference that Quinn had done during the broadcast. And what he asked us to do was he asked us to read the speech versus watching the speech. So that's what I did.
Okay.
And I went into it thinking that whether it was gold or whether it was garbage was ultimately going to be determined by who the audience was. So I know you're going to find this shocking. I don't necessarily think that I was the audience for that speech, but given the fact that it was the words on paper and it was the criteria that Quint established, I did read through it. And using the criteria that he established, I think he said about maybe 20% of the speech were things that folks on the left would not like, where the balance of it had some things that he defined as being some of the best speeches ever done in the history of speeches.
But I don't know if he said it was, the 75% was a speech about civic virtue and a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so my conclusion, surprisingly enough, was that the frame that the president did, probably somewhere around paragraph 2, paragraph 3, essentially invalidated everything that came after.
And what part's that? What did he say there?
That's where he went to the, you know, radical left, Marxist, trying to indoctrinate your children. It was that kind of language there. So it was very clearly divisive. So at that point, you know, I don't think the speech is recoverable as something that you're trying to communicate to all Americans. But if all you're trying to do is to communicate with the base, then I can see where, you know, Quentin reached the conclusion that he reached.
Robert, I got the transcript up here. Is this one of the lines you had an issue with? Our nation is witnessing a merciless campaign to wipe out our history, defame our heroes, erase our values, and indoctrinate our children. Is that that's kind of right there at the beginning of the speech? Is that part of what you're talking about here?
Yeah, that's part of it. And there was also a string about the radical left, the Marxists, the anarchists, et cetera, et cetera.
Do you have that actual quote there on that, Dalton? Could you find
Yeah, I'm reading through right now, and I did,
because I do this weird thing in today's media culture. I don't want to react to something that I don't actually have read and looked.
And I watched clips of it also, and he said, angry mobs trying to tear down statues of our founders, deface our most sacred memorials, and unleash a wave of violent crime in our cities. That's one of the lines he had here. And then he mentioned one of the political weapons is cancel culture, driving people from their jobs, shaming dissenters, and demanding total submission from anyone who disagrees. He said, there's a new far-left fascism that demands absolute allegiance if you don't speak its language, perform its rituals, recite its mantras, and follow its commandments, you'll be censored, banished, blacklisted, prosecuted, and punished.
Okay, that's, so that yeah. that part is that, do you think that's not true?
Do I think it's not true?
Yeah, I mean, that what that part of that there's a far-left fascism, Dalton, is that, I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, he said a new far-left fascism is the term that he used there.
Do you think that there's some of that afoot in this country or not?
No.
No?
So this is where we always end up in the back and forth. So
let's
you
go.
Can identify somebody in the country who is a Marxist, right? You can identify somebody in the country that is a fascist. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But the larger conversation that's happening right now is less about what you would refer to, and I'm not talking about you individually, but collectively, people would refer to as an attempt to rewrite culture, which is rewrite history, which is problematic, versus critiquing history, which is perfectly appropriate. And so I think a lot of times when folks start throwing around terms, you end up creating more division and actually exists when you unpeel the onion and really start to focus on what the true concern is.
Right, so it would be bad if people would call conservatives or the president a Nazi or somebody who was a real danger to the republic. Or, I mean, you would agree those things would be problematic then if you would say things like that.
I think it's left and right in that particular regard, yes. So personally, I can critique any of the president's actions and never refer to him as a Nazi or any of the other language that's used to refer to him. But when folks start collectively referring to an individual's patriotism and suggesting because they have a different political view, they hate America, it's almost as if those individuals are perpetuating the behavior that they are trying to critique simultaneously.
First of all, Jace's text here, he said, the far right participates in cancel culture without hesitation just as well. It's equally unpalatable regardless of who does it. Now, I agree with Jace on that. The cancel culture machine out there that's waiting. And I guess it is the day of social media where I guess people who in the past could have never used that pressure. I mean, you have the boycott this product or boycott that product, but in today's world...
Sean, can we do this in terms of a for example?
Okay.
Because I think it might be easier to understand. So let's talk about one of the non-Confederate monuments. Let's just say the Jefferson Memorial, for example.
Okay, because you know that's on my list of things to talk about. So good. Yeah, let's go.
So we know last week we had Independence Day. Thomas Jefferson was one of our founding fathers who actually wrote the Declaration of Independence, right? There's no ifs, ands, and buts, that's factually.
Right.
We also know that Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. There was one slave in particular who he had children with, right?
Sally Hemings, yes.
Because the relationship was referred to in some media as his mistress, but because that was his slave, his property... it wasn't a consensual thing, right? So you're talking about, you know, rape and pedophilia, et cetera, et cetera. So is it cancel culture to start to critique both the good and the bad associated with a founding father? I don't necessarily think that it is. I think that's a good thing to clarify history. Now, whether that stems or spills over into the concept of tearing down a monument versus having a conversation about whether or not a monument should remain standing, that's a perfectly appropriate conversation to have. I don't think that's cancel culture either.
You know,
what say you?
Yeah, well, that's one conversation you and I have had several times, and all my list of things to talk with you about is you said, you know, whether critiquing or erasing history. And the critique of history, you know, I'm all in. I'm all in having a discussion and talking about what we do as a republic going forward. Do we change this? Do we change that? That is healthy. That is good. That's what makes us the best country on earth. But letting people, for example, my frustration, as you've heard over the last few weeks, with ignorance of history, when the 54th Massachusetts Monument in Boston was defaced, and then when they toppled the statue of Frederick Douglass, I just threw my hands there. I was at the house, actually, when I heard it. I said, you got to be flipping kidding me.
Do you know who did that, though?
Who did what, in Boston or in at Frederick Douglass?
That makes a difference, right?
Well, they said, well, okay, so the one in Boston, they said it was Antifa. Antifa's saying it's not them. But the spray painting and the things that were written there on the one in Boston, and this 54th Massachusetts a couple weeks ago, it's at least by, can I play the game that's counterintelligence and it's somebody who is actually making this up and say, the writing on there was very synonymous with what had come out of Antifa at other places, okay?
Well, I mean, and well, thank you for bringing that out. And this is part of what I wanted to reference last week when we were starting to talk about the conversation we had with Senator Sessions. And so one of the questions that I asked during the forum that was on air with Dr. Liu and you and I co-facilitating was I asked him why it was he thought that people were taking to the streets. You know, this concept of the multiracial, multigenerational group expressing their discontent with issues of the day. And the first thing that he said was Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
And then subsequent to that, he talked about some of the issues with respect within the African-American community, relationship with the police department, et cetera, et cetera. And so when you reference the 54th Massachusetts, when you reference the statue of Frederick Douglass, clearly there's an element in there that is not the core of the movement. And so that's why I like to actually decouple a conversation about the critique of history versus the people who have clearly gone too far. See, and you gave two examples of that, but that's not the same thing as somebody writing Black Trans Lives Matter on the stand that previously held the statue for Admiral Sims, right? Those aren't the same thing.
Agreed. So, but how do you, you know, you talk about decoupling. I mean, we could make that, that goes back to, if people would do that, they would be like me and believe we are just individuals making individual decisions. But the groupthink that exists out there doesn't. If you're going to be part of some movement, how do you say, well, I'm part of this part of it, but not part of that? You know, I don't know. I mean, where do you make the rules up on that?
But I was going to say, that's the exact same thing that we're talking about. In terms of law enforcement collectively, right? So we often say that there are a few bad apples that are representative of the whole. And in the sense of what's been happening with communities of color and law enforcement, that civilian has left that situation either hurt or with their life gone, right? So we can focus on that and still show love for the overall law enforcement community and actually have backlash against what happened in, what was it, Daphne, yesterday with Five Guys?
And I think we still don't know what happened there.
And say that crossed the line. You know what I mean? But
and I want to get back to
law enforcement. We should be able to do that with the movement that's happening right now as well.
All right. And we get back to the Daphne thing, although I keep saying we got to wait for more information on that. But let's look at this quickly before the break. If you and I go on to social media right now and look for people on social media, let's, we're going to count numbers here. And I don't know. I'm just, this is not rhetorical. It's a real question. People that think it's a great thing to have bad cops. So people that are supporters of bad cops on social media, the number of those people out there that think that's a great thing, and those that would pull down, that think it's a great thing to pull down every statue, every monument, anything that is part of the American history of old. Which group do you think has more people on it, if we get that tally?
Yeah, I think the question's inherently flawed.
I think it's a great question, answer it.
But I was going to say, but be that as it may, I think that you would end up with more people who want to pull down monuments than would be supporting bad cops.
Okay. So there we go. Come back. We're coming right back. More with Robert Kennedy Jr. And, the Five Guys thing, too. People have been asking us, and we posted up. What we're posting up is what Daphne PD said, what Mayor Dane Haygood said. I'm hoping there's more clarity on this.
I think Five Guys said they're investigating.
Investigating. Better get investigating fast here. Right, 827 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean and Dalton, our buddy Robert Kennedy Jr. continuing our conversation this morning. And this one that came up yesterday, the Karen Act ordinance. I don't know if it's an act, if it's at a city level, the ordinance.
Yeah, right? In San Francisco, the Caution Against Racially Exploitative Non-Emergencies Act. It
right.
was a ordinance brought up by a member there in San Francisco, I think city council member.
And the acronym is, of course, an homage to the meme about what I've heard is defined a whole bunch of different ways now in the last 24 hours, but is it entitled white women, or is it just any white woman?
Well,
somebody said they had to have a bob haircut. I don't know.
Forbes says Karen, which has become a generic name to describe entitled or racist white women. So let's go with that one.
Okay. And so, Robert, we yesterday talked about that story, and both Dalton and I questioned a story that, or questioned an ordinance that basically would give what seems like, at least from my mind, extra ordinance to something that was already against the law to make a false police report.
I think your assessment of that is correct. But I think what it does is it brings visibility to one of the issues that's come out of our African-American community for years, and that is when somebody weaponizes law enforcement. Because the consequences of that weaponization within our community can be catastrophic, and that can actually lead to a loss of life. And so if it ends up decreasing the number of those calls that ends up happening, well, ultimately, that's a good thing. That's the objective of what the ordinance is. I think it's less about the person and more about getting them to think twice before they call for a reason that doesn't need to be called.
Yeah, I wonder, and it like go back to this individual thing. I can only see things through my own lens, and I don't know who works at dispatch and all that. But I'm thinking in law enforcement, you know, for people obsessed with this stuff, the different skin colors of the friends of mine that work in law enforcement, they're multi, and if they're working dispatch and get a call, they want to know what the. They just want it to be a real police report, and after that, they need to know if that's a white person or a black person or a woman or a man, or they're wearing a red T-shirt or blue jeans. I mean, that's important information for them when they call out to go find somebody. That's just the facts of the job, right? Let's go find this person.
Oh, yeah, that's not the issue, Sean. You're absolutely right on that. If you see somebody and they kidnap somebody, you're going to want to know height, weight, skin color, et cetera, et cetera.
That's just normal facts.
When you're sleeping in a lobby, when you're barbecuing in a park, when you're selling water, you know what I'm saying? That's all the stuff. You're looking at the birds. It's all these things that, you know, you're writing in chalk. It's all those situations. Those are the ones that we're talking about, which is where the ordinance would be valid. It's not the, you know, somebody threw a Molotov cocktail, right? Obviously, you're going to call in that situation.
Very good. Robert, we'll pick this conversation up again next week. We appreciate your time.
All right, you guys be good and stay safe.
All right, you too. Coming right back. Or Mobile Mornings, Rob Holbert joins us. By the way, they're going to have to get an extra mantle down at Lanyap for the awards they're winning. I read through something yesterday. They stacking them up,
ooh,
folks.
Here on FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings, and right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
What's up, everybody?
Hey, man. We're having a great day here at FM Talk 106.5. I want to know what you got going on at the lot today.
Oh, we got everything going on here. Hope the rain stays away, man. It's just kind of put a damper on everything here the last couple of days. I know we need it, though. We got some great, you know, everybody knows we got great deals going on. We got the employee pricing on all the GM SUVs, GMC SUVs, excuse me. Y'all need to come by and check those out. I mean, the Yukons, the Denalis, the Enclaves, the Terrains, And don't forget about our used cars. We got those on the internet. Check those out at McConnellAutomotive.com on our website, or give Gene or I a call at 251-476-4141. Don't forget, speaking of the rain, if you have that unfortunate accident, call back here and talk to Gary and all the gang at the body shop. They'll take care of your insurance and all that stuff. Even got a little coupon deal going on now where if you refer somebody to body shop, you get an extra $100.
Wow.
Not bad, not bad. Y'all come see us here in the beautiful Midtown Mobile right on Dolphin Street, right off the interstate.
Hey, we will, Louie. Thanks for talking with us this morning.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Right, 8:38, and time to check in with our buddy Rob Holbert from Lanyap. I do want to just quickly here, got a stack of text here about the Five Guys story. It is interesting to me that this is what, not that people wouldn't pay attention to it at all, but it captures, I mean, we look at what drives our, you know, Facebook page and all that, that this captures so much attention compared to other stories going on. But I can probably understand why. But let me throw this in. As we continue to get more information, and I've been saying that since this came out, I don't know. There may be other media groups, we'll find out, that just say, just wait a second, let's get some more information on this as it comes out. But this whole idea of, and wait to find out more, but if you say, well, we're going to not go to any Five Guys hamburgers, or we're not going to this because of what may or may not, we don't know what happened yet. It's like Jay said earlier, cancel culture on both sides. Just let's wait. Mm-hmm. Let's judge individuals and not brands for a second. Let's just see. Now, if it becomes a policy of a brand, a different story. But let's just wait. Just wait a second.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, we've had so many stories take off nationwide. I mean, just think, whether it's WMDs for Iraq or the Russia collusion story or things on the more local level, when you have one source, and I'm not saying, you know, I believe law enforcement for the most part, mostly all the time. But when you only have one source, just because two or three outlets report from that one source, you know, in journalism, you're always taught to have at least two sources. Well, one source talking to several places, you know, the story, I'm with you. I think we should wait to see what the story is. And it's cancel culture to say that I bet the owner of that Five Guys, I don't know who it is, I don't know personally, but I doubt that the owner wanted employees, if that was the case, to not serve police officers. Correct. That is completely makes no sense.
All right, so let's just, actually, speaking of journalism, when I think about that, I think about my buddy Rob Holbert at Lanyap, and of course Ashley and Dale and Gabe and the whole crew over there. Hey, Rob.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are y'all this morning?
Doing good. You doing that journalist thing this morning?
We're doing that journalism thing. Doing it, yes. We are.
You do 24.
Every day. It's like making the donuts. Got to make the donuts.
And y'all do. I wanted to take a second here because and talk about a couple of stories in the new Lanyap. But let me just say kudos on y'all. I saw a lineup of the awards y'all have won here in Alabama and in the Southeast recently in journalism. And y'all are fighting. You're punching above your weight class. You're fighting some publications in some bigger cities, and you're kicking their butt. And I love it.
Yeah, we had a nice, thank you for bringing that up, but we had a really good year in terms of awards, and we did well, obviously, in the state, but the Society of Professional Journalists Green Eye Shades Award is 11 states in the Southeast, and we won the most awards in our division, and it was nice.
No, it was good.
Really good stuff, yeah.
I'm just proud to know you. I saw that, and I wanted to bring that up because I thought it was a great thing. All right, let's dig into some of that reporting. First of all, what had y'all in Supreme? Y'all were in the Alabama Supreme Court yesterday. What's with that?
We were up at the we were in the Alabama Supreme Court yesterday with a case about police body cam footage. We're trying to get some body camera footage from Sheriff Hoss Mack over in Baldwin County regarding a guy who was shot on the side of the road in 2017. He had an accident. Jonathan Victor is his name. He had an accident. Somehow or another, it turned into a situation where officers felt that he was a threat. He got out of the car, and he certainly was acting very strangely, and they ended up shooting him. And, you know, so the question we've had is, you know, why? I mean, they've released video, but there's always, it's at the point right before the guy gets shot, and everybody's in this defensive posture. And the question we've had is, when did somebody decide he had a gun? Because he didn't have a gun. He was holding a fanny pack, and he got shot. And so the question is, I mean, it seems logical to say somewhere along the line somebody said, this guy's a threat. When did that happen? And you know, so that's really what we've wanted to look at. And it's just been refused. And so we're up there essentially going before the court to get them to come bring us back down to the circuit court and actually have a discussion about the, can we get the footage or not? You know, they basically denied us, claiming that we didn't ask them the right way.
You know, you've been pushing for body cam footage before this too. I mean, I remember you were doing it for Mobile Police Department.
Well, I think, you know, I think when we get into this, you know, what we talk about, you know, all these different things people talk about, what they want with police departments, and they want, you know, they want accountability and they want defunding and all these kinds of things that really seem very, very difficult. To me, one of the things that is the most simple is that body camera footage is made more readily available. If you are somebody that has an issue, you think that you were wronged, you come in and say, hey, I've, you know, officer so-and-so pulled me over, he used this kind of language, or he did this, that, or the other to me, and you can go to the camera footage and see what occurred. But I think you'd have to have probably some sort of a third party, an ombudsman, something like that to do it. But, you know, this concept that body cam was going to increase accountability and transparency is just absolutely, it's a falsehood. And, you know, people think, oh, well, they got body cams. Well, the police don't release them. And in fact, you know, there are efforts to just completely close that down, that is not available to the public at all. So, you know, all it is essentially is to help law enforcement when it serves their purpose. You know, as you notice, anytime it's something that's good, it can come out in 2 seconds. You know, here we go, the next day, mm-hmm. body cam is available. But if it's something that is questionable, it's a problem. So that's where we are. I mean, I understand it, you know, that we need to, they have investigative things that are going on, and we have to respect those things. But in this case, the investigation's been over. It's done. So why can't we look at the footage?
So Supreme Court says?
Well, we don't know. We'll find out. It's very interesting. And I learned a lot about the Supreme Court that I really didn't know. And I guess I had this concept, we'd go up there and argue for hours on end. And, it's, you know, it's 20 minutes on each side. They've got a little green light, a red light. Man, when they're done, they're done.
But you get, like, gonged out? You get, like, buzzed out?
I mean, really, yes. It's like the gong show, just like it. That's it. I mean, you're just done. Mid-sentence. Okay, you're done.
Have Justice Champ Lyons with the gong or something?
Boom. Something like that.
All right.
It's interesting. It really isn't. And I was impressed with the justices in terms of the questions they asked. And I shouldn't say surprising, but I was a little surprised that the intensity and the knowledge they showed with the questions they had. I guess I should expect knowledge and intensity.
No, but that's good. It's good to hear, because Rob, if you hadn't, you know, figured out, most of us don't have that moment at the Supreme Court of the state of Alabama.
Hey, yeah.
You know.
You know, it's a first for me. It was a really interesting experience, and it's just kind of amazing to sort of go into the star chamber and see all that.
All right, talk to me too about that. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk about Election Day. But you've got, is that why we have the screaming American Eagle with the flag?
That's
on the front?
It, yes. What's more American than Election Day and Eagle, right? You know?
Well, those are one and two, and then, yeah, I guess that'd be being overweight.
Working on all those things.
Okay, so other than that, you got them all represented.
You could have had a big belly roll on the cover, but, you know, that may have taken some interpretation.
Oh, missed out an opportunity there. Coming right back, more with Rob Holbert from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Talk about Election Day coming up, and I'm getting texts. Somebody said, did they miss it? What was the latest polling on Sessions and Tuberville? Latest polling at this point, and I'm talking about public polling, is probably 2 weeks old. Maybe a little bit more. We'll talk about that with Rob when we get back. All right, 8:51. 101 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right. Kids will be going back to school, most likely, next month. Time to get them on the duty of assembling the junk and getting it out. Don't wait till you got to do it on your own. When they go, I got too much schoolwork. If they don't have schoolwork now, tell them to identify the junk and then get on the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Make that appointment to get Trey and his crew out to your house. The nice thing is, it's an actual appointment. It's like on a specific day and a specific time, which is just... it's refreshing these days to have somebody do that. They'll come out, they'll quote you a price on the job. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done. It could be junk inside your house. It could be out in the backyard. It could be, like, I remember discussion of how many trampolines a year. Trey, the big trampoline gets rid of those. Swing sets, above ground pools, storage buildings. If you want a whole storage unit cleaned out, you've been paying on every month and you don't even know what's in it, get them to do it. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK or online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Good folks. Trey's been doing this 12 years in Mobile, Baldwin County. A friend of mine, check him out. All right, Rob Holbert with LandApp. We continue our discussion and remind folks, too, if they have yet to get their subscription for LandApp, you can get a year free if you get signed up. I mean, you can get a month free if you sign up for the year.
That's correct. Man, look at you. You got it all down. Yes, and you should sign up because there's a lot of stuff you're missing. If you're not signed up, if you're not on the website, you're missing breaking news almost every day. And you know, we're covering a lot of things that nobody else is covering. And, you know, so folks get there. It's 21 cents a day. It's $1.50 a week to be online. I mean, it's less than a cup of coffee. So go to my.landyapmobile.com, sign up, and join us. Join in the ever-growing group.
All right, and let's talk about what's coming up on Tuesday. If y'all have not noticed, at least on the Republican side, in the AL1 runoff and in the Senate, runoff on the Republican side, you have four candidates that all are horrible people and all won't stand with Trump. So of all four Republicans are horrible people who won't stand with Trump. That's my takeaway from the advertising so far. Am I off? Or
I you know, my takeaway is that we as a newspaper have missed out on a tremendous amount of malfeasance and bad behavior that we should have reported on, apparently.
They're all a bunch of horrible people.
We apparently have missed a tremendous amount of theft and just bad behavior. I don't, you know.
All four. Yeah, who would have thought in 2020 all four people in this runoff for the Republicans don't support President Trump and are all hateful people?
I mean, that part, too. It's just, it's amazing, you know, running as Republicans these days that none of them do. It's really gotten nasty, hasn't it? And it's a tough one. I'm particularly surprised by, I don't know the gentleman in the Senate race very well. I've met them, but I don't know them very well. But I do know the two in the House race fairly well, and I think they're both very nice people. I'm really surprised how rough that race has gotten.
Rob, we asked Jeff Poore yesterday. We were kind of, I think Sean set the odds on the turnout for all of Alabama, and I think we decided on 10% for a good over-under. What are you thinking for Tuesday? I mean, I think we'll have more people here in Mobile and Baldwin counties turnout than the rest of the state, but statewide, what would be your guess?
Gosh, you know, I will be optimistic and guess 15 or 20%. How about that? I'll be optimistic.
What? You're a Pollyanna.
That's crazy, isn't it? I know. It probably is crazy. It probably is a crazy number. I don't know. That's just... but, it's going to be light, I think. You're probably right. I think it will be heavier here because we have a lot more interest, I guess, in this area. And these are big races, and there's been a lot of money spent advertising them.
Yes. And it's also interesting in this, looking just up the road in AL2. So the rest of the state kind of quiet on that side, but AL1 and AL2 are the story. And you look at this money that's come in. We talk about Club for Growth and other outside money coming in here. So, I mean, I look around and go, y'all are that interested in us here in Alabama in a Republican primary?
Yeah, I don't understand why they're so fired up. I mean, why is Club for Growth spending that kind of money in this district? I just don't get it. I don't know what it is they expect that one congressman, one of 435 congressmen, to do for them. It is a tremendous amount of money. I think they've spent more than $1 million
yep.
in this district.
Correct.
And I don't know if it's true or not, but probably not, because he's a terrible liar, apparently. But Jerry Carl, I think, has claimed that they've spent more money on this race than they have against Democrats. So,
no, I've heard that from several sources.
But that's a tremendous amount of money, regardless. To spend $1 million in this district.
Now, I have heard that from several sources. I've also, just to mitigate that, some people have said, well, by and large, Club for Growth doesn't do their business in general. They do all their business in primary. So, just to, you know, balance it, not say it's right or wrong, just to balance it out.
But again, they
meddle in Republican primaries.
I would love to know what the interest is, why that is, you know, a tooth and nail type situation for them.
Somebody has said to me, or a couple of people have said, that it's to be able to show wins, you know, to be able to show some W's to their donors.
To flex on somebody.
Yeah.
To show they'll dump $1 million in your district. Yeah, I guess. Maybe so.
To show their donors that they can get a win, I guess. I don't know.
But if they don't, they're going to look pretty bad.
And some of the polling, you know, somebody asked about the polling. The last set of polling I've seen in the Senate race was probably 2 weeks ago. Do you know of anything more recent?
No, I don't. I don't know of anything really recent. And the polling is, you know, it's so sketchy these days. But I just kind of go on behavior based on the way that candidates are behaving, where they think they are, at least. And I would, just based on what they're doing, I think Tuberville obviously believes him that he is ahead, and Sessions obviously believes he's behind. So I think that's where they are, but I don't have any clue what the percentage difference is, or if you have this terribly low turnout, what that's going to mean, because it's very difficult to determine who's more motivated.
Well, by this time next week, we'll know, and we'll be talking about it. Rob?
Yeah, there are going to be some good races. I mean, it's going to be interesting, I think. I don't expect them to be blowouts.
Maybe one. I don't know, but I'm not putting money down on it. Other than just that I feel like the turnout will be somewhere below your Pollyanna 20%. That's where I put my money.
15 to 20.
You're ridiculous.
Yeah,
ridiculous. Silly talk out of you, Holbert. Thank you for your time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Mark asking a question here. Will the poll workers ask voters to remove their masks to identify themselves with their photo ID? Don't have an answer to that, but we'll try to get that by the midday show.